The Great Australian Dream or
this
the Great
is
Australian
a demonstration
Nightmare? Now, we all know that real estate prices have been climbing higher and higher and higher, and so many of us are obsessed with the need to own our own houses. But why does land and real estate cost so much? What makes it so expensive beyond the fact that it just is expensive? And where does the global financial system fit into all of this? With me now is Carl Fitzgerald, who's behind Real Estate for Ransom. It's a documentary that looks at the ways in which exploding house prices affect
this
not
is
just
a demonstration
you, but the whole global economy.
That.
And I would be interested in your thoughts. If you are caught by the price crunch, are you outraged? Are you resigned? Are you trying to work your way around it? Have you got any bright ideas how to free yourself from the mortgage and the rental madness? 1-300-681-666 is the number, and the SMS is 0467-922-666. Carl's documentary is having a special tax summit screening this evening. I don't think we're allowed to call it a summit. I think we have to call it a round table or something like that. More details on that shortly. Carl, hello.
Hello.
I should begin by asking you if you own your own home.
I certainly do, and I've made $200,000 in my sleep in just 4 years.
Which is a lot more than your pay has increased by in the last 4 years.
Absolutely, and that is the trick that is modern monopoly capitalism. It's all about buying and selling natural resources or pieces of property that can be encouraged
this
to be scarce.
This is a demonstration.
And that
That's
scarcity
good for that.
Breeds these amazing easy profits.
Well, let's go back to Tours. How did we begin to determine the price of housing? How was this mechanism operating 50 years ago, a century ago?
Well, the big thing with housing is that it should be based around the value of what you can actually earn from that location. Of course, that's related to our wages. But here we are 18 odd years into our bubble mentality we're into, and people
this
are buying property based on expected future capital gains. And from that, they're going to the banks, borrowing more and more money, and everyone's bidding these prices up to these ridiculous levels that have crashed the global economy.
So people are looking at housing not as a means of putting a roof over their head, but a means of making money.
Well, a bit of both. I think a lot of people, well, the lucky ones are looking for those capital gains, but you know, many many Gen X and Y's are jumping in and saying, well, listen, it's gone up for so long, why don't we just jump in and you know, it's only to keep going up, so let's just you know, take the big plunge and engage in this risky behaviour.
And so that's what you call the kind of property speculation that traps us all. It becomes a sort of a rolling hamster wheel of investment that consumes almost the whole of household incomes.
Well, it's certainly up there in terms of how much income it does consume, and as we're seeing, retail expenditures are really starting to
this
suffer.
This is a demonstration.
And it's crazy.
They're
blaming other issues other than the fact that we're all spending so much on somewhere to live.
Well, I guess as someone who owns a family farm, as we do, we're often struck by what we call the disparity between agricultural and real estate prices, and it's that phenomenon that happens when people decide that a district is terribly desirable for one reason or another, and farmers, people who are producing something off their land, are squeezed out by people who want to simply occupy the land, and people become prepared to pay higher prices for reasons that are unconnected
this
with the land's actual productive value. It's sometimes hard to pinpoint how these mechanisms start to roll, isn't it?
Well, there's a very studious industry out there called the land valuation industry, and land valuers are experts at doing this. It just depends whether you want a land valuer to tell you the real, genuine price, or you're one of the land valuers. Valuers that Goldman Sachs, for example, were employing. They'd only employ land valuers who would give an inflated value of the property so that these investment houses could push prices upwards. And
you made the comparison with housing prices by contrast with rewards for our labour. Housing prices go up by far more than the increase in wages. We remain locked in that cycle, though, because we accept as a society that our govvy here in the suburbs is worth hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, but when you look at it, the long-term averages have been about three times the average wage
by
an average house.
And
now we're somewhere in the vicinity of six to nine times the average wage to buy the average house. And people are saying this is perfectly rational. Well, how can we rewrite history in such a turbulent economic era that we're going through at present? We're really scratching our heads on that one.
Well, of course, the US housing bubble, which you mentioned a moment ago.
But it's not just the US, it's the Irish, the Spanish, the UK, globally, there's been this huge Ponzi game of buying
this
and selling
is a
property.
Demonstration
and everyone
of
was onto globalization and the maneuverability of capital to set up sweatshops. And that was, you know, a big issue for the left to really get hold of. And there's been some moderate reforms in that front. But the big one that many people missed and we've been screaming about for years and years is look at what's happening to property. You know, people, superannuation companies in America were buying up huge swathes of the coastline of Mexico, beautiful beachside resorts, and over in Vanuatu, there's a website there called barrierbeach.com.au.
This is a demonstration of flip
there's seven different languages that welcome you on this beautiful flash-based website, encouraging you to buy up this lush beachside exotica that you yourself can then go and advertise on another real estate type website and flip it for a huge profit.
It's secondary sales. It's not you could build your dream home in Vanuatu. It's you buy this and then you can sell it for an enormous amount more.
Well, just have a look. I wonder if it's the same as in Melbourne. Now, more and more for sale signs, and I wish someone would do
this
a statistic
a
on this, are being tiered towards the investor rather than the family home. And it's based around this crazy situation we're in that only those willing to roll the dice further and further in this expectation of future capital gains can actually afford to buy now. Everyday person is locked out.
And I'm interested in your reactions on this. 1-300-681-666 is our number, and the SMS is 0467-922-666. Particularly if you've got any bright ideas about how to free yourself from the mortgage and the rental madness. And Carl has put forward some figures that say that up to 70% of household budgets are consumed by mortgages. Even if you're renting, it's 40%. Carl?
Well, I'd say it's closer to somewhere around about 40 to 50% of incomes. Up to 50% you're pushing, but I don't know. 70, that's a bit much, but okay. It's a lot of money. I was in a taxi this morning with a young man, and I said to him, you know, how much of your wages are you paying on someone to live? You know what, 40%?
This
says,
is a demonstration.
Well, two of us, we're paying 30%. I was like, really? So it's now mandated that two incomes have to pay what was previously called, you know, the cutting edge of... It's almost unaffordable at 30% of your incomes. And now two people can barely afford 30% of their income. So, you know, it seems that gone are the days of raising your kids at home, yourselves. Both of you have to work.
So how do you then suggest that the taxation system could be changed in a way that would benefit people who just want to live in their houses rather than gamble that this will make them a lot of money?
Yeah, well, these are supposedly risky things to say in public, but I think the everyday person I meet in the streets, they're all screaming about this. They want to get rid of negative gearing. Absolutely. The first homeowner's grant should be rebranded as the seller's subsidy. If everyone gets $32,000, we're all going to outbid each other and the price of land will go up at least $32,000. There's also the capital gains discount that's going on. And if you attend any of these property spruiker seminars, you'll see a little tactic called postcode hopping, where you can change your mobile phone address and your electoral address to your brand new investment property and wait until the 13th month and sell that and avoid paying capital gains tax on it. So, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. If you go to a tax minimisation for lawyers seminar at number one Collins Street in Melbourne, there are many, many more strategies out there. But in the end, the biggest one that has to be done is, you know, essentially all of those reforms are inconsequential to the big one, and that is improving the land tax. We need to increase the rate of land tax and get rid of stamp duties as a bare minimum. We feel that in a globally mobile world where capital and both labour can zap around everywhere, we need to have the most efficient pricing mechanisms available. And the land tax system, capturing what's known as economic rents, how the city of Canberra was actually built, is economic theory at its finest. And that's what Dr. Ken Henry promoted in the Henry Tax Review. And that's why we're here tonight for the Tax Summit screening.
I don't think we're allowed to call it a tax summit. I think we've got to call it the round table. But you've got to explain to me, you've got a sign in here, a call flute sign, which is absolutely what we see on real estate signs outside the block of flats where I stay during the week. And it says, for ransom, the great Australian dream. Tell me about this campaign.
Yeah, well, a few years ago, we were, 2.5 people basically in my office, and we're competing with 13 think tanks in Melbourne alone, and we're trying to get the message out to young people that the incentives are all upside down. There's so much incentive to buy and sell real estate, and
this is a
very
demonstration
little to actually work. So
we
made these mock signs up that were to look like for sale signs, but they said, "For ransom, the great Australian dream. Why work? Speculate. Community creates the value. You take the profit. Realestateforransom.com." And that was the sign.
But, Carl, what are the alternatives, though? I mean, do we go back to communes? Do we go back to other land-sharing models? Who really wants to live like that?
Nobody does. We want to reward entrepreneurs.
This is a demonstration.
The productive economy has got to wrestle back control of what's gone on with this speculative largesse. It's held the global economy to ransom, and we're seeing, you know, 5 years into the American recession/depression, they've got a long way to go till they get back to it. And the scary thing is, Australia's bubble, it was just as high, if not higher. When you look at mortgage debt over GDP, our bubble was 18% higher than America's ever was. So we've been trying to warn people, don't buy now. And this Real Estate for Ransom documentary is all about showing the other side to the story, to what we all see on TV with the block, the renovators, you know, location. All these shows are telling people to jump on this bandwagon and forget working, just buy and sell real estate. Well, what are the side effects?
Do you see the housing bubble crashing? Do you see that bursting?
We certainly see it is already underway, and by one comparison of statistics, America's real estate market corrected 4% in their first year, and ours has fallen by some 5.4%. I think it might have been 5.2% with RP Data's stats the other day. So they're saying that it's a mild correction here, but with all the uncertainty out there, and the fact that it's already starting to fall, we would say this would have to be the riskiest time to be buying real estate in the modern era.
But people need houses.
This
are there alternatives?
This is a demonstration.
Here in the Territory, for example, we've had the land rental scheme, which has not had a huge uptake, but is that the kind of thinking that we need to be looking at?
Absolutely. I was sitting in a policy roundtable with the Greens housing spokesman, Senator Scott Ludlam, recently, and stated that this was the most innovative housing affordability policy here in Canberra, the Canberra Land Rent Initiative. And so we're enthused to see that one state government can see the sense in the community capturing the rising value in land rather than it going into the hands of developers. And sure, you know, developers need a return on their equity, on their investment, but if we took everyone out of Canberra, the land values around Canberra would plummet. But we bring them back and they go back up again. So it's the community that creates this value. Why shouldn't they get some share of it? You know, we're struggling to get 1% of the share of that land value upkick at the moment.
Although, Carl, this is a very particular philosophical and political viewpoint on your part. I mean, this is, in a sense, it's a form of socialism. You're saying that our taxation, our economic system should be based on resources rather than allowing the resources to generate wealth that can then benefit us all.
No, it's a balance between the two. It's allowing entrepreneurs to develop those resources as long as they're willing to pay something back to the community for the privilege of being able to fence off whether it's iron
this
ore or the electromagnetic spectrum
that.
Or prime locations in a Canberra. So there's no way that we can be branded as socialists, because we're saying we're trying to drop income taxes ultimately to zero. You know,
which
we should have
a libertarian viewpoint rather than a socialist one.
Yeah,
fair enough.
And
yeah.
Company tax, you know, Macquarie Bank paid what? Next to nothing a couple of years ago, and most of the banks take 10% off their corporate tax rate through various tax loopholes, so nobody's paying 30 or 29%, whatever they're arguing for at the round table there. But you know, we need a new frontier of thinking, and it was great to see at the tax round table today some very deep and interesting conversation going on. I was actually quite impressed with what they were saying, but it was muted in the discussion for this manoeuvre to what we're talking about right now, and that was using the terminology, we have to broaden
this is a demonstration
the tax base.
A flip from
now, that is coded economist language for listen. Capital can zoom off to the Bahamas whenever they want. Labor is, you know, reasonably mobile as well, but look, the land is going to be the tax base of the future.
But you are also asking, and really we've only got a minute till the news, you're asking quite profound questions about the role of the free market as a determinant in all of our lives, aren't you?
Absolutely. Well, we need a way for reward for effort to flourish rather than to be handshackled by all this paperwork. And one of the biggest challenges to any small business is paying the rent. We've got to keep a lid on that, and that's why removing speculators out of the equation will bring land prices back to land values, and an easier future is foreseeable.
Now, tell me about the screening. You're having a special tax forum screening tonight in Canberra of the documentary, which is Real Estate for Ransom.
6:30 p.m. at the Dendy Cinemas, $10 entry.
This is a demonstration.
Myself, I'll be doing a Q&A afterwards with a former ANU academic and treasury official, Dr. Terry Dwyer. So have a look at what's on TV, have a look at what's on the documentary, and come down and rifle your questions at us. We're confident that you will have a new analytical perspective to the frontiers of Monopoly after you've watched this film.
And in fact, we are waiting for the news headlines to hear what's going to happen to interest rates as we speak, which is...
They're going to stay solid. There's no way there's going to be any cuts just yet, I don't think. But everyone's on the edge of their seats, aren't they, hoping they'll get some sort of extra spending capacity.
So, really, you see us all as locked on the hamster wheel, don't you?
Well, we all are, and everyone's working around the clock and two wages to pay an average mortgage, if that. And how that can be seen as a genuinely free society, I think we all have some deep-seated questions to ask there.
And
that's my job, is to make people think outside the square and realise, listen, the wisdom of the ages was based around the fact that land would always go up in value. Land represents the earth. And from Adam Smith onwards, economic rent was always seen as something that should be part of the public's right, not something privatised for the squatocracy and the lucky aristocrats.
They're fighting words, Carl Fitzgerald. It's been good to have you here. I have just had the word that there is no change to interest rates,
this
but we'll confirm that with our news headlines. Thank you very much indeed for coming in to tell us about Real Estate for Ransom and providing some food for grand global economic thought, as well as how much the mortgage is costing us all. Thanks for your time.